Good morning. Welcome to Thursday, the 11th of April. I want to thank you for joining me today. we have a lot of things that we're going to be covering. We're in the last part of chapter 4, and then we will go into chapter 5 tomorrow and Saturday, and then on Monday I'm going to be talking about hearing the voice of God. Excuse me. Hearing the voice of God. Why is it important to hear his voice? Especially when you prophesy or have words of knowledge. Hear his voice. It's so important to hear him. And in one word, I'll give you kind of a, let's take a look at it. The one word is relationship. And you have to be in relationship with the Lord. But we'll get into that next week. Today we are in James or Jacob chapter 4, and we're going to be picking up where we left off yesterday at verse 11. And so we'll get there in just a minute. Want to tell you that if you want to get in contact with me or my ministry, it's tomandsarah@outlook.com. That's the best way to do it. tomandsarah@outlook.com. If you want to donate into the ministry, send me an email. I'll get you the links. Or you can go to the descriptions on these videos. You'll see the links there. You can give. I'm looking for 100 people at least to give me $55 for school next year and who are willing to donate into this ministry. And for my podcasters, just email me at tomandsarah@outlook.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And I want you to like, comment, share, subscribe to these videos, subscribe to this ministry, and you'll be able to get notifications if you, you know, notifications of when we're going to be doing videos. So basically the videos we only do Monday through Saturday. Sunday I take the day off from speaking. And I just go and spend time doing things I like to do. And I mean, I like to do this, but just to do something that's different. I learned a long time ago after my nervous breakdown that you need to take one day in seven to do something that is different than what you normally do. That's one of the deals that I look at when I think of when I'm thinking of all of these things that I do, I realize that you have to take one day in seven. Jesus said that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord's rest. It doesn't mean you are inactive. It just means that you are doing something that you don't normally do. For mental health and all that. You know, our society is built on stress. Our society is built on doing the things that, and just to keep active, keep going, keep going, keep going. And so we're seeing more anxiety, more stress, more things going on today than we've ever have. My dad used to play golf regularly, and, you know, he would take that one day, just to go play golf. It's 4 or 5 hours and he would be able to relax. And I feel like we need to start doing things, one day in seven, to relax, whether that's painting, writing, doing music, or unless you do that for a living and then you want to do something else. Anyway, do something that you don't normally do. I have a book. It's called From Breakdown to Breakthrough. You can get that on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Walmart.com. You can get them all there. It basically deals with how I came out of my nervous breakdown, why I got into it. It's very short on why I got into it, but it's very long on the resources and my healing process. So I want you to be able to hear what I have to say today, and understand that God is doing some great, great things, and we want to keep him to do it. So let's go to James chapter 4. Holy Spirit, come today and give us more of your grace. Guide me as I share these things, and that we would that we would be able to see your face in all that we do. Amen. Okay, dear friends. I like how he starts, dear friends. As part of God's family, we're in verse 11 of chapter 4. We're in verse 11 of chapter 4. Dear friends, as part of God's family, never speak against another family member. For when you slander a brother or sister, you violate God's law of love. And your duty is not to make yourself a judge of the law of love by saying that it doesn't apply to you, but your duty is to obey it. There's only one true lawgiver and judge, the one who has the power to save and to destroy. So, who do you think you are to judge your neighbor? Listen. Those of you who are boasting, today or tomorrow we will go to another city and spend some time and go into business and make heaps of profit. But you don't know, you don't have a clue at what tomorrow may bring. For your fleeting life is but a warm breath of air that is visible in the cold of the day only for a moment, and then it vanishes. Instead, you shall say, our tomorrows are in the Lord's hands, and if he is willing, we will live life to its fullest and do this and that. But here you are boasting in your ignorance, for to be presumptuous about what you'll do tomorrow is evil. So if you know of an opportunity to do the right thing today and yet refrain from doing it, you are guilty of sin. Now, I wanna go into this a little bit, okay? Leviticus 19:18, he's talking about this law of love, God's law of love, that we don't speak against it, we don't violate it. He's talking about, in Leviticus 19:18, he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You remember when Jesus said, he said that, he asked the gentleman, he said, what are the laws? Keep the commandments. And actually, no, I'm sorry. That was a different story. The one I'm talking about was they came to Jesus and they said to him, what is the most important of the laws? And Jesus said this, and it was really cool. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And then they add strength. And then he said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And this is the law and the prophets. So it's all summed up in those two, love. All right. So if you read the Old Testament in any aspect other than love, you know, you are not seeing the whole picture. You are prejudging what's happening based upon what's going on in your heart. And so we have to be very careful. I always say I'm not addicted to coffee. Coffee's addicted to me. As part of God's family, never speak against another family member, because in this manner you are violating God's law. The idea here is that if you're fasting and you gossip, if you're fasting and you gossip, go ahead and eat. It's doing nothing for you, all right? And this is one of these times when I think this may be something that him and Jesus were talking about when they were kids. Maybe they had a neighbor, and who doesn't have a neighbor sometimes that just gets under your skin, and you start talking again as a family or as a brother. As siblings, you talk against them. I remember my brother and I used to do that with other neighbors. And so we're violating the law of love. If you talk bad about a family, a literal family member, blood family member, you're violating God's law of love. That you shall love them in the manner that you love yourself. It's like the law of gravity. It's something that you can't hinder. Somebody told me one time, well, I love better than I love myself. And I said, no. You love your neighbor in the manner that you love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you don't really love your neighbor. You're probably just trying to get approval from them. I felt like I stepped on somebody's toe that time. By saying that it doesn't apply to you, okay? By saying that it doesn't apply to you, but your duty is to obey it. You got to refrain from judging. All right, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7. He says, judge not others, but in the measure that you judge somebody else, it's going to be judged to you. So I don't judge people anymore. It's a confession too. When I first got here to Bethel, I started to learn to seek out the gold in somebody else's heart, in somebody else's life, and seek out their best. Now, I know some preachers get beat up for this verbally. I mean, on YouTube, everybody can talk against everybody else, but they talk about there is good inside of everybody, and there is. God created you for a purpose and a reason. And he cares about you. And he wants you to know that you're better than what you are acting or something like that. And that's kind of what some of these preachers are talking about when they're saying there's good in everybody. The conviction of the Holy Spirit says, you're better than this. You don't have to act like that. All right. Now, when you sin, we have a defense attorney, and I say this all the time. We have a defense attorney, and that is Jesus Christ, the righteous. His blood paid for it all. And all we have to do is if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some of it, but all of it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have love one for another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I saw a bumper sticker that said, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Well, no, God said that we are supposed to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We're supposed to be complete, even as our Heavenly Father is complete. Does that mean that we can go time without sin? Yeah, it does. We don't have to sin if we don't want to. But what happens is a lot of times we agree with the lie of the devil. And what's the what is the first lie that the devil gives? He brings you into fear. And if you, like fear that your prayer isn't going to get answered, like I'm believing God for finances. And so the fear will come when I say, is God going to do this? Now, I know this. I know where I stand with God all the time. God's character is stable. I can trust his character. That he seeks out my best without any thought of having it returned to him. But I love him so much that I want to return it to him. I'm seeking the Lord's best. He's seeking my best. His character, God is good. And he's not just good, but he's good all the time. God is powerful. God is love. God is merciful. God is my guide. He's always this. He's going to be, he is so consistent. He is always good. But I can't put my faith in what he's going to do next. I shouldn't say my faith in that. It's not a good word. But I cannot find security in what he's going to do next. I seldom have security in that. I know what God is like, and I know that what he's doing is good, but I don't necessarily know exactly what it is he's going to do. I don't know how God's going to provide. I remember, and I have this testimony, back in 1993, 94, I went to Latvia for 2 weeks. And the Lord told me up until that time that I was not allowed to ask anybody for money, but to trust it. I think I was reading George Mueller at the time. So I wasn't allowed to ask people for money for this trip. And I would mention I was going on the trip, but I never mentioned that I needed money for the trip. So time was getting close. I had a couple days to get the money for the airplane ticket. And I remember a pastor friend of mine came up to me and he said, "So do you have money for your trip? And do you have money?" And I said, "No, I don't have any." And he goes, "Well, why don't you bring that up at this pastor's meeting we're going to be having and see what can happen?" And I said, "I'm not allowed to ask for money." And he said to me, he just kind of like smiled. And we separated. And then when we had our pastor's meeting, like it was the day before I was supposed to pay for the tickets, when I went to the pastor's meeting, he brought it up that I was going on this trip. And he said I needed $2,000 for the airfare. And I had nothing, literally had nothing. I was working too. But I had a family at the time and I just didn't have any money. And then so they took the offering and I had just enough for the airplane ticket. And so I went to the airport the next day, bought the ticket. This is when I had to drive. I had to drive actually to the SAS place to pay for the ticket. And so I went there and gave him the money. And then the Lord kept saying, "Don't say a word." Now I needed $1,000 for the 2 weeks. And the Lord said, "Don't ask." I said, "Okay." So my pastor, the day before I was leaving for the trip, I had no money. And the pastor told me in the morning, "Remind me." It was Sunday morning. He said, "Remind me of what I'm, you know, remind me to take an offering for you." And I was like, "Okay." And I didn't say anything because the Lord told me not to say a word. And he forgot. Sunday morning, he forgot. Now, Sunday mornings, we had a full church. Sunday nights, not so much. So I remember Sunday afternoon, he said, "Oh, I totally forgot you were supposed to remind me." I said, "I'm not allowed to." And he said, "Okay, we'll take an offering for you tonight." And then so I got to church, and not including my family, there were 8 people at church. And I was like, you know, inside I was kind of groaning. And that night, they took an offering for me, and $800 came in. So I went on the trip and did the 2 weeks and found out that except for a few bucks, I didn't spend a whole lot of money. I bought some souvenirs, etc., but I didn't spend any of the money, and I was able to give, out of that $800, I think I was able to give $750 to the YWAM base that was there. And so I'm telling you this because you can always trust God's character. God is good. He is provider. It's who he is. It's not what he does. It's who he is. And I was not sure how he was going to provide that money. But he did provide the money. He did it in a way that I never thought it was possible. Or I shouldn't say never thought it was possible. He did it in a way that 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 surprised me. Okay? It is our duty to obey the law of the Lord. Okay? There's only one true lawgiver and judge, the one who has the power to save and to destroy. So who do you think you are to judge your neighbor? Yeah, God doesn't judge you. Why should you judge anybody else? And I know what you're saying. Wait a minute, Tom. God is the judge. Yes, he is, but he doesn't judge. Now, if you're talking about, you know, because he says he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. And he doesn't judge you as an unbeliever. You're already judged. You know, if you don't believe, you're condemned already, John says. So he doesn't have to judge you. We have the verdict. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, the verdict is in. There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I looked up that word no, and it means none. There is none. There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. So he is the lawgiver. So the law is up there, and you can judge for yourself whether or not you are keeping to the standard of his love. Now listen, those of you who are boasting, today or tomorrow, we'll go to another city, spend some time, go into business, make heaps of money. But you don't have a clue what tomorrow may bring, for your fleeting life is but a vapor, one version says. It's a warm breath of air that is only visible in the cold for only a moment, and then it vanishes. And a lot of times we make plans. Now, planning is great, and we need to plan. People need to plan their day, all right? And you have to base what you're going to do. You have to base your day upon what the plan is. However, like I said, God is not obligated to do it your way. Now, if you plan on going to, you know, to do this, and you have to make plans, don't get me wrong, you have to plan to take a trip. But he says this, those of you who are boasting, big word there. If you're boasting, now tomorrow we're doing this and we're going to go into business, we're going to make a ton of money. All right? Don't boast about it. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I remember, and this is really sad, but it's funny now. But I remember I was planning, it was a warm, I don't know if it was unseasonably or if it was seasonably. I don't remember. But it was late in the spring in New York, and we just had a season of a few days of really, really warm weather, and we were going to go to the ocean. And the day that we had planned to go to the ocean, we were both, we're going to go to the beach. We're going to, it was late May. And the day we were going to go, it was so cold. Well, I'm not going to say it was like freezing cold, but it was cold. And it was like in the high 40s when we woke up. It was about 48, rainy, and killed the day. And so we had to plan to do something else. I remember many times I would plan a week in advance to go play golf, and it would be pouring rain, windy and cold. And you just have to cancel those plans. But you don't have a clue what tomorrow may bring, for your fleeting life is this warm breath. I love it. Instead, you should say, our tomorrows are in the Lord's hands. And if he is willing, we will live life to its fullest and do this or that. Tomorrow is in God's plans. Don't worry about tomorrow, Matthew says. Jesus said it. Don't worry about tomorrow, what it'll bring. You don't know what it's going to bring. But understand that you can pray, God, if it is your will, it would be cool if we can just do this or that. You know, we want to live life to its fullest. And so it begs this phrase begs the understanding that you have to know what the will of the Lord is. Now, I never say on Saturday, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to go I'm going to heal the sick. Jesus said, heal the sick. I don't know how they're going to get healed. I'm just going to pray into that and believe God to heal them. I remember the other night, a few nights ago, I was at the worship night, and the Lord told me to tell somebody, just said, hey, tell them they're healed, all right? And what happens is in my hand, in my left hand, I will get, actually both hands, I will feel like a fire coming on the fingertips, going into the palms. And I know that that's the Lord for me. That is the Lord to pray for somebody for healing. And this woman, I think I shared it yesterday, and this woman walks past me. And my hand caught fire. And then she walked past again, and my hand got hot again. And I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe God wants me to pray for her. And I was kind of, you know, shy about praying for her. I'm not going to say, it was just like, it would look weird. I don't know. I was just kind of like, not timid about it, but I was careful about going up to her and praying for her. And it turned out that as I was leaving, the Lord said, well, just tell her. And so I told her, I said, hey, you know, I just want you to know the Lord told me to tell you you're healed. Now, every time that I get that heat in my hands, I know that they are going to be healed. So it's easy for me to just release the healing. And that's what I did. you always know what God is going to be like, but you seldom know what he's going to do next. So if you know the opportunity to do the right thing today, and yet you refrain from doing it, you're guilty of sin. So in light of that, do what you know you have an opportunity to do today, because you're here today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Do it today, and if you refrain from doing it, you will, to you, it's missing what God's wanting you to do. It's a sin. If you know the right thing to do, but you don't do it, it's sin. It's just as much a sin as doing the wrong thing. And I wonder, and I just kind of wonder if James or Jacob and Jesus talked about some of these things prior. You know, maybe he was repeating Jesus' words when they were kids. I don't know that. But I do know that we just need to draw closer to the Lord in these things. Be careful how you treat people. You know, again, I treated people out of the lens that I had. All right, I grew up in the Lord, very intense. I was very, I'm not going to say I was involved in the holiness movement. I wasn't. But, you know, a lot of times I would look at the outward and literally judge or make my assumption of that person's relationship with the Lord based upon what I was thinking about it or what I saw. For example, there was a guy here at Bethel, and he would go up to the front to worship. And he would be raising his hands, and he would try to prophesy over people. And after worship, he would go out for a couple of cigarettes. He also had a lifestyle that was questionable. And I thought to myself, I'm like, he's not a Christian. Well, the Lord convicted me, and he said, do you have a book of life on you? And I said, no. And he goes, well, how do you know if he's a Christian or not? Don't you worry about his journey. You worry about your journey. Remember where you came from. You want people to be understanding of you. You have to be understanding of other people. Don't judge his journey with me based upon what you think. And I was really convicted by that. Because remember, a believer is a bride of Jesus. And one of the brides of Jesus all of us together make composite the bride of Christ, all the believers together. And you have to understand that he is part of that. This person was part of that. And I had to come and to grips with the fact that I can't judge the bride of Jesus. I can't look at him and base what I think his relationship with God is based upon what I'm seeing. Now remember, man looks on the outside, God looks at the heart. I wonder if many times people would look at David the same way. Look at David having so many wives and sleeping with this chick and doing this and doing that. And yet he calls himself a man after God's heart. God looks at your heart, but man does look at the outside. So be aware of that. I don't care what people think about me. It doesn't matter to me. I do want them to like me. Don't get me wrong. But if you don't like me, it's okay. I have many people that I disagree with that were really good friends. And he's allowed to say, or they're allowed to say what they believe and what they want. That's the whole part of our Constitution, isn't it? And they allow me to believe what I believe, and we agree on the major doctrines of the Bible, salvation through Christ alone, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we believe, there's other little things that we don't agree on, and that's fine. But we're really good friends. So understand that you cannot determine somebody else's status of salvation based upon what it looks like. I had to stop that. I had to say, okay, what's deep inside them? What is deep inside their heart? And then go and get it. Now, fortunately, I've developed better in my relationship with the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I still have a long way to go. But God is doing some great things. And I enjoy when God does great things. And he's doing things in people. And it's not up to me to say, oh, yeah, he's doing this and that and the other thing. You know, and I love to see people's lives changed. And that's really where I'm at right now. And so, so we're going to end this here. And understand that we need Jesus and we need the blood of Jesus. And we need to draw closer to him on a regular basis. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious. You know, that's the whole thing. Is that everything that we fear never comes upon us. I don't know. Everything that I've been concerned about or anxious about never happened. So I'm batting 1,000 in that. And we can trust God. We can trust his character. So we're going to go chapter 5 tomorrow. We're going to go to chapter 5 tomorrow and Saturday. And then Monday we're going to do this teaching on hearing the voice of the Lord. A lot of people have been asking how I hear the voice of God, and, you know, especially in the prophetic. And even next week, we're going to be doing some prophetic words over people, whoever watches. So if you want to be a part of that, jump on the live and we'll get you going. Okay. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for joining me today. Tom and Sarah at outlook.com. That's not Tom and Sarah. It's not that. Tom and Sarah. My name actually means, my name is fully Salvatore Thomas and Sarah, the Savior's beloved twin. The Savior's beloved twin from the mountains. That's what my name means. Well, anyway, God bless you guys. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.